Welcome to Beyond the Pulpit, exploring the life and ministry of Walnut Creek Church downtown. This podcast is a ministry of the pastors of Walnut Creek downtown for our members and regular attenders. To learn more, please visit walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown or join us on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:15, or 10:45 a.m. at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines.
Well, all right. Welcome to Beyond the Pulpit. We're back after taking the whole month of July off. My name is Derek Wadley, and I'm joined here with Dan Rude. Say hi, Dan.
What's up, everybody?
And Luke Hookie. Say hi, Luke.
Hey, guys.
And today we have two very special guests. We have Cody Smith and Autumn Gray.
Round of applause.
Let's go.
Welcome. Welcome.
This is going to be a really exciting episode. We're really excited to have them on here to talk about kids ministry and student ministry and just how important that is in the life of the church. But first, Autumn, I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself. Kind of how long have you been a part of Walnut Creek? How'd you get connected?
Okay, we have gone to Walnut Creek for almost 14 years. We moved here from North Carolina in July of 2010 and started coming in August of 2010.
Great.
Man. So, I didn't realize it's been 14 years.
Really. Yeah.
Long time, Autumn.
It's a long time.
Dawson was born here.
That's right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's wild. And so how do you serve at the church?
I have served in children's ministry pretty much the whole time, but it has kind of ebbed over the years. Mm-hmm. Currently, I've been doing preschool consistently for the last 5 years, every week during the school year. So
great, great.
It's amazing.
Cody, who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Cody. My family's been coming to Walnut Creek for about 7 years or so. We started in November of, I guess, 2016, maybe 8 years. But anyway, I have married and we have four kids that range from 1 to 7. And so I lead our kids ministry now. I've been doing that now for about a year. And so Dan gave me a call a year and a half ago. And it's been a big blessing to serve the church in that way. And I've gotten to meet a lot of new people in church too, which has been really, really cool to be a part of. And so I spend time with the students and then I spend time in our kids ministry too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I think it's probably helpful for us to clarify when we say kids ministry and we say students, because we also have campus fellowship, which involves college students. So when we say kids, what ages are we talking
about? Yeah, to say kids ministry, I mean like babies through fifth grade or so. So we have our Sunday morning kids classes. We have Wednesday night kids club. And then for student ministry, we serve our 6th through 12th grade students, so about 11 to 18 on Wednesday nights primarily.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. No, both of those have pretty big age ranges in them. And
so,
usually for kids ministry, kids club wraps up kind of with the school year. And so there hasn't been a lot of formal like Wednesday night type programming or anything for kids throughout the summer, but the student ministry has done a variety of things throughout the summer. Is that right? A few different activities.
We've done a couple things, not a ton necessarily. It's been a good time. I think for families are busy doing stuff, which is really good. We did at the end of the school year, we experimented with the idea of meeting in homes instead of downtown. So during the month of May, we had about 15 students meeting in a house, and it was a really fruitful time for those kids. And we're not going to, I don't think, move to meeting in homes on Wednesday nights instead of downtown. But I do think there's a place in student ministry for that sort of meeting. So to be determined on what we do with that. But it was really, really fruitful time for the students, for sure.
That's great.
And then just recently, last weekend, first weekend in August, we did a student ministry retreat, which has kind of been an annual thing. And we talked about friendship this year, where our culture, people experience a lot of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And so it was really neat to be able to actually have the kids experience friendship with one another, do something together, but then also talk about how we're designed to be in community with other people and actually, what is a friend? Mm-hmm. How can we think about friendship in a biblical way? And so I think it was a really good time for the kids. I heard good feedback.
I was there. I attended. I did go to bed earlier than most people probably, but I was there for the whole weekend. And I thought it was excellent. And my all three of my boys went, and then my oldest daughter, Winley, it's her first year, so she was super excited and pumped to go, and all of them had great things to say. And I think it was that topic is just such an important topic in thinking about not only what is a friend, but how to become a good friend. Mm-hmm. I thought you did a good job teaching on all those different kind of questions and nuances of friendship. And just the epidemic of loneliness in our culture. And I was listening to just some other podcasts this week, and just how that theme just continues to come up over and over and over, of just the loneliness. The more we're connected, you know, the irony, the more we're connected through social media and the internet, the lonelier we are, because we have less in-person connections and actual relationships with people, not just screens. And so I thought it was great, and something our kids need to hear and continue to hear. So good for parents to hear too. Wasn't just really informed, I think, probably parents as much as some of the kids.
Yeah, there's so much value in learning to be a good friend at a young age. And I think it's impossible to disconnect friendship from discipleship. Discipleship is not just passing information on, it's embodying the truth, living out the truth with one another. And so that theme, when I remember you telling me that the theme was friendship, and I thought that is about the best theme that you could pick, I think, for these kids. Just to learn the importance of loving each other, being friends with one another. So it's a huge win.
Just recycle that.
Every year. Maybe we do it for the adults as well. That could actually be really, really good. Mm.
Yeah, Hidden Acres is just it's a fun place to go, especially when we're basically the only ones there. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to be together, running around, be outside, stay up late. Bonfires, volleyball.
Well, some of you stay up late.
Yeah, well, I stay up late for me. I actually didn't go to bed till like 11:30 the first night.
You're crazy, Luke.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
That's surprised you're not still in recovery.
I think I am. I was
up until 10 o'clock last night, and I don't know how I'm going to make it today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Great.
We're old.
Yep. that's the takeaway here. Yeah, that's awesome. It's always fun to hear about the retreat. You know, my oldest is 9, so we're a few years away from going to it. But just as we've kind of talked about, like what the next couple of years of Wednesday nights look like for him, he's excited to jump into student ministry and kind of the idea of being just in the ministry center and not doing everything in the church, like one of the big kids, and being able to go on like this overnight retreat. I even talked to him a little bit about it. We were probably a little bit crazier than most in terms of like, we don't let our kids do a ton of like internet related things. And so I don't even think my kids would know how to like get on the internet if I could put a computer in front of them, which is probably bad for my 9-year-old at this point with school coming up. But
it's the easiest thing to figure out.
So yeah, he'll figure it out. No problem. But yeah, I think that learning how to be a good friend from a young age is really important. You know, I've a couple of family members who are college professors. I was talking to them on vacation this last week, and they said what they noticed from the beginning of their career to the end of the career, they just retired, is that it used to be that kids would come into class early and then they'd be talking and then couples would get together because they would start talking, or then friends would be made in that kind of time. And then as the years went on, they just kept coming in and they were just on their phones. They were just like locked in. They had AirPods, like no one was interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And
now it's like it's awkward to do that. You know, you're like the weird person to talk to somebody versus just sitting there on your phone or listening to something.
I think it's safer.
I think
that's why people are on a phone, is you can put a persona out. You don't have to actually be who you are.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't feel the rejection of people or whatever. You know, no one's in a sense judging you because you're just kind of, you know, to yourself. So there's a safety aspect to it.
Yeah. So I was kind of part of the challenge to the kids at the retreat is how do you make a friend? You actually share yourself with other people.
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah, and that can be a really scary thing. especially like for like a middle schooler, high schooler that's like going through a lot of really dramatic changes, like just in their life.
Yeah.
They don't know what is even happening to themselves. You know, our culture in a lot of ways has been preying on that by isolating kids and feeding them all sorts of false ideologies. Mm-hmm. But really, like, God's word has what our kids need. So it's such a good thing. And so encouraging to hear about what has been going on with students and kind of how the student ministry has developed. It's been a really valuable thing in the life of the church. So yeah, we're excited to see how that goes. We'll come back a little bit on when student ministry is going to launch here in a minute, but we do want to call to everyone's attention that there is an opportunity to coming up for those who are serving in our kids ministry on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, or those who are interested. So Cody, do you want to tell us a little bit about this upcoming meeting?
So on September 8th, we're going to, right after church, have a lunch and kind of a training equipping time for people who are intending to serve in kids ministry, whether that be Sunday morning kids classes or Wednesday night kids club. Or if you're maybe thinking about it, interested possibly in serving, that'd be an opportunity. Again, you could get some training, some equipping. We'll have a way to even like sign up to serve at that point. But there's a sign up registration for that, just to be able to help us plan space and food for you all. And so we're really excited about that. It's not something that's never happened in our church rhythms, our kids ministry rhythms, but it's been sparse. And so hoping to have a little bit more regular rhythms of training, equipping, and communicating why we do kids ministry and why it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so the sign up for that, you'll be able to find on the Church Center app. It's going to be in the weekly email for the next couple of weeks, but there should be a link. I'm saying this now having not written it, but in theory, in the notes for the episode here, there will also be a link. I haven't quite cracked the code on links, making it from what I put in to Spotify and Apple, but
I believe in you, Dickie. Yeah. I believe in you.
You know, it's going to be my parting the Red Sea moment.
Copy and paste the order. Oh, you know.
Cody, yeah. I should have asked you this before, but between Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, do you know how many volunteers we have for kids ministry?
How many volunteers?
In order for us to have kids ministry, that's how many volunteers roughly do we have?
So on Wednesday nights, I would say there's probably about 35-ish volunteers. And that, I don't want to say it's been a bare bones crew in the past, but there some areas have been really stretched. The volunteers
lean and mean.
Very stretched. And so and they've been, and for the most part, those volunteers have been faithful over several years, which is really cool. Mm. And Sunday morning, there's actually very little overlap in the people who serve on Wednesday nights and people on Sunday mornings, which I've been surprised by as I've kind of been looking at that. But Sunday mornings, I don't know, how many would you say that are at 9:15? You guys have like 10 people upstairs or
so? We have 10 people in the preschool at least, sometimes a little more. I imagine they probably put 5 or 6 in the nursery.
Yeah.
Right?
At 9:15, 7 or 8. So there's, probably close to 40 to 50 people who are serving on a Sunday morning at church between the three services.
Well, I mean, that's really the lion's share of people serving.
Oh, man.
Serving the church on any given Sunday.
Totally. And like our Sunday morning volunteers during the school year, we're every week volunteers. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's a rotating, like you've got 40 or 50 people rotating through. It's like those people are there consistently every week.
Yeah. Which I think that's been a big win.
It's amazing.
Big win for the kids, big win for the teachers, just as the relationships have been able to be built. And when people are signing up to volunteer, they're not signing up, like, not all kids ministry is nursery work where you're kind of caring for babies.
That's right.
And even that nursery work is valuable. It's not just babysitting. And so there really is a high level of value in kids ministry in the life of the church. And so I think that we want to move away from this attitude that kids ministry is babysitting. And so Cody, Autumn, what are some of the reasons why like kids ministry really matters in the life of the church?
Well, one thing I think I don't want to say our church necessarily has a blind spot to this, but a lot of people, it seems at our church, a lot of adults have a story where they like were involved in campus fellowship or in college ministry and were saved at that point in their life. And so I think that a lot of people think that the majority of people become Christians, majority of Christians become Christians in college.
Yeah.
But actually, the trend is that the majority of adult Christians become Christians before they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually like some people talk about like a 4:14 window that a lot of people become Christians in. And so thinking of our kids' ministry, just this past week we had, past Sunday, we had over 200 kids in kids' ministry. And those are all people who, I don't want to say none of those kids are Christians, but at best, they're pretty immature Christians.
Pretty young.
And a lot of them are non-Christians. And so they're also soft to the gospel, though they're not, at least not hostile. They're not, none of these kids are coming in saying, I'm an atheist or whatever, you know? And so it's a pretty neat opportunity to be able to share biblical truths and share the gospel with these kids, that these people that are willing to hear it.
Yeah, there's a harvest right in front of us.
Totally.
Well, and I think like as a parent of eight, we have seen over the years that we are the primary disciple makers of our own children. However, the more people that walk beside us in that, the better. Last night we had Sean and Liz over, and all day Dawson was excited to see him. He had had him as a preschool teacher 3 or 4 years old. And so I think the relationships, the more people you have in your children's lives that are a good example, the better overall. There are going to be things that our kids might want to talk to somebody about, and they might choose to talk to someone, you know what I mean, to get some extra advice from somebody, or somebody besides dad also said this.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are, they're heading towards the same eternal destiny as everybody else. And that's either to be with the Lord in heaven for all of eternity or in hell, separated forever. And kids have a way of asking some really interesting questions, and the way that they frame the details that they try to pick up on can even challenge your faith and where you're at as an adult. Like there are just questions that my kids have asked that I'm just like, I've never even thought about like that, that detail, but it's important to you. And so it's like just the opportunity to be able to answer that. That's an opportunity that, that people, I think, are overlooking when it comes to kids ministry.
And I think that idea, it's not like you're going to have kids that are going to necessarily make a proclamation of faith in a preschool classroom. So that's not the goal, but the goals of being Jesus' hands and feet, like those things are all important as well.
I mean, people are not going to, they should not sign up thinking that they're going to be Billy Graham to to 5, 6, and 7 year olds.
Or maybe, is that like maybe. The ultimate, I don't know that that's even the ultimate goal, right? Like we don't want to push kids into a relationship with Jesus before they're ready either, but just provide foundation.
I just think about the verse where Paul tells, he's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he says, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so I think about part of our student ministry, kids ministry, our children have an opportunity to hear the scriptures from, really from birth, and not just in their homes, but also in the church and in a variety of places in the church, and kids ministry being one of those places. So you have an opportunity to influence young minds towards Christ and to put the scriptures in their minds, which God will, Lord willing, use to bring them to faith in Christ. And so it really is a an opportunity for you to serve in a way that is impacting people for all of eternity. I mean, the future in one sense of our church is our kids. And so we want to invest in our children, and we want to be wise about that and diligent with that. And we want to see and really uphold and value, I think, the ministry of to our children. So whether that's, you know, in the nursery or whether that's in a campus fellowship or, you know, high school, whatever age it actually is. And so God has gifted people in all kinds of ways, and some of you who are listening, your gifting is to work with kids, and so we would love to, you know, have you involved in that that ministry.
You know, I grew up in the church, and I heard the gospel at a very young age. And I think when I was in high school and even in my college years, I used to think that my testimony was not very exciting. Mm-hmm. I was pretty boring. And the real glory, the real awesome testimonies are the testimonies of the guy or the girl who was addicted to drugs and, you know, selling, you know, drugs to children and, you know, like all just all the crazy stuff. And then they either hear the gospel and they're instantly changed and now they're super cool in the church and they're following Christ. Like that's kind of the testimony sometimes that gets glorified and exalted. And I love it that God saves sinners, and I love that people who are really far from the kingdom of God or openly rebelling against God, I love that the Lord Jesus saves them. I love exciting testimonies. But for our church, my hope is that we have as many, quote, boring conversions as possible. Yeah. Like I hope all these kids, the hundreds of kids that God has now blessed us with, they hear the gospel, they hear the truth at a young age, and I'm sure statistically some of them will stray. Some of them are going to go crazy and wild, but I hope we have as many boring, boring conversions as possible.
Amen. You know, hopefully if they go wild, they can think back to like what they heard. The it's in their hearts, it's being hidden in their hearts. And even if I've even thought, like, even if a kid leaves and what they're going through something hard and they think, you know, where I was really loved was at church, and it brings them back.
No doubt.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
Yeah. Haunted by the scriptures.
Yes.
Haunted. So when they're quiet and before they go to bed, and God's word is just in them. Yeah.
So there's a few different ways that people can serve. So there's Sunday morning. There are opportunities on Sunday morning in nursery and then the kids' classes. And then Wednesday night, there's a couple of different opportunities there as well. So what are some of the Wednesday night opportunities that people have?
Yeah, for kids ministry on Wednesday nights, we have our Cubbies, Club Cubbies, which is our preschool-aged kids. And it's a very well-organized program that they have. And it's historically been from the Awana program. Mm. And so put a little bit of our own flavor to it or whatever. And so adapted from Awana programming. And then Club Canon is our kind of our early elementary age kids, so kindergarten through second grade. And then our older kids, they experience Club Catechism. And so they're walking through the New City Catechism and actually learning the questions and responses and the verses that are corresponding with each of those questions and responses. And they're memorizing those throughout the year. So it's pretty amazing what kids are able to learn. And so at each of those areas, there's opportunities to be involved, obviously. And I think it's for some that opportunity isn't available because that's on Wednesday night, and a lot of adult community groups meet on Wednesday nights. But it seems like when near whole community groups that don't meet Wednesday nights have really jumped in, it's been pretty fruitful for that group.
Yeah, that's right.
Six, seven, eight, nine, 10 people from a group serving together in a ministry area for kids of people of the church. It's been really cool to see.
Those Wednesday nights often have like a small group leader, correct?
Right, yeah.
Because like Kristen, who both Luke and my daughter are in her group, she's actually stayed with that group since third grade.
Yeah.
So they're entering Unite and she has followed them the entire time. And I know to Nora, that just meant the world that she's keeping, you know.
Yeah. Same with Winley. She's loved it.
Yeah. So it's just an opportunity to really build good relationships, I think, in those small groups.
Yeah. And we have male leader, too, that's moving up with his boys from, he's been with them the last 2 years and moving up into sixth grade.
Do they all move up or is it just kind of case by case?
Case by case, Yeah. So some people will kind of recycle in the kind of the third through fifth grade area or the kindergarten through second grade area. And then other people will follow with their kids. Because the people who are serving become pretty close-knit, too. You know, some of them are in community group together and so continue to do that together. But even if they're not in group together, like with the Club Canon, for example, I know that over the past handful of years, Pastor Greg has been involved in that and has really, like, kind of developed a sense of community amongst those people.
Yep. That's great. And I was talking with John Schreiner, pastor on the South Side, a while back when he was helping kind of with kids ministry across the whole church. And we were talking about the curriculum that they do on Sunday morning and the Club Canon curriculum. They kind of play together. And in terms of like they're from the same place.
Yeah. They're both from the Bible.
They're both from the Bible.
That's true. Wait a second.
That's true.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so just if you're interested in being in kids ministry at Walnut Creek, we teach from the Bible.
Sorry.
You learn something new every day. But he was saying that if kids join kids ministry from like a young age, that by the time they get through fifth grade, that there's a real possibility that they've gone through most of the Bible at least a couple of times, which is pretty incredible.
You know,
you talked about a lot of people become, you know, think about Christians becoming Christians at college and all of that. And, you know, they just kind of, I feel like I have a lot of conversations where they just really struggle to get through large chunks of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our kids ministry provides an opportunity to like really expose our kids to the whole counsel of God, which is really cool.
I feel like the gospel project is 4 years. Like you cycle through the whole Bible in 4 years.
Yeah, three or four, somewhere around there. Yeah.
I've restarted the same cycle.
Yeah.
So I've taught kids stuff and we're back like maybe the second year of doing the same thing again.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it's a new group of kids.
Right.
You know,
Right. Which is so great. I think, just the idea that the kids can go through that and get exposed to that much scripture. So then in the transition from Sunday school into, you know, quote, big church is what my kids call it, is it's kind of smooth. There's a context for what they're hearing as we teach through the scriptures on Sunday mornings. And along that vein, there is a kind of a change that is available or coming up here on Sunday with kids class on Sunday morning. And as it relates to kids coming to big church.
So
what is that, Cody?
So on Sunday mornings, we've been talking, I started asking the question, when should kids be in church?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like there's a general principle it'd be good for families to be together at church.
Yep.
And so if kids are out of the service, are they actually at church or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when should kids be in service? And so starting in the fall, kind of with the new, going back to the Roman series, September 15th, class will be offered on Sunday morning up through third grade rather than up through fifth grade. And so we're calling this like a soft cap to a degree. So if you think your fourth or fifth grader would be better served in kids ministry in a kids class on Sunday morning, you're welcome to put them in there. But the opposite is also true. If you think your first grader is ready to be in church, we think it's better for them to be in church.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say they're not learning anything in kids ministry.
Yeah.
It's the principle of the family being together that is really important. We've been talking about all of the great things kids learning, the kids ministry area.
Yeah.
But thinking about the church service, some things that kids won't see or experience in kids ministry is they won't see a baptism when they're in the kids classes.
Mm-hmm.
They won't see their parents take communion in the kids classes, which leads to great conversations with the family. You know, kids ask, why can't I do that?
Yep.
Or whatever, you know. And one I think is really important is they'll probably never see their dad singing to the Lord if they're not in church with their families.
Yeah, true.
And so, so anyway, that's change that's happening. And I think it'll be, there's likelihood that for some people it'll be a challenge in the church service that your kid is with you.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little distracting at times, but over time, I think that families will see the fruit of it.
Yep.
And so the question comes up then, well, how do I know if my kid's ready?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know. How do you know when your kid's ready? Mm-hmm. I think, though, the danger is if you start asking, you know, where's my kid going to learn more?
Yep.
You're surely going to underestimate what they're going to get out of a church service.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What they're capable of getting out of it.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to overestimate the attention that they give in the kids class too. You know, kids are kids are kids. And so like they're not fully engaged for the whole church service, yep. you know, yep. when they're in the preschool room or the elementary room. And so anyway, I think that kids will surprise you in terms of what they'd actually pick up from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be such a good opportunity. And again, like to answer the like, how do I know? I mean, it's like, that's where your role as a parent really comes in, and like knowing and cultivating that relationship with your kids and knowing your kids well and being able to engage in conversations with them rather than just relying on the church to say they should go through a class until this age and then they get put in. And so just kind of that disconnectedness.
And I think just have your kids sit with you in service for a month. And, you know, think don't take the stance of, well, I'm not sure they're ready. I would say throw them in.
Yeah, right.
And be consistent with them. And
yeah, you don't have to commit like, oh, my kid's not coming to kids' class anymore. You know, it's like,
right.
I would think most fourth graders can, I mean, what are you actually sitting for? Maybe 45 minutes by the time music is done. And like, you know what I mean? Most fourth graders at school are sitting that long.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I think as parents, you just train your kids to do it.
Totally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a responsibility of, it might be difficult and want to work through it, but I think you can train your children to sit for a period of time. So.
Yeah. And the first week, first 2-3 weeks might not go well, but like that's part of the training process. And it's kind of like
Dan glares at you while he's preaching.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start calling kids out by name.
You know, we have teenage boys and we do every other sometimes.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
For real. You just know who to separate.
And sometimes, they share seats, so it's pretty good. Like they get scrunching together. I've been impressed how many boys can fit in one row.
Or sometimes when all of the middle high school girls are sitting together, it's like 15 of them in three chairs.
Yeah,
it's good.
Something, so this is maybe a small thing, but it encouraged me recently when I was preaching. This service was pretty full, and the only seats that were available were the front row seats. And I looked, and there are 9, like they're the 4 sections, and I think one of them has like 9 seats, one of the sections, 9 seats wide. And I think there were 12 young boys in those 9 seats. And they were all, they weren't slapping each other, and they were all just listening.
They're shooting a few spitwads
No, but they weren't slapping each other. They were just sitting there, and I don't know how much they learned, but I thought that is just it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. They didn't learn nothing.
Some of those are my boys. 4 of them were my boys, so I was happy about that. But I just thought that's a good, it's a great thing. It's a great thing for these kids who are bombarded every day by the culture with nonsense. And in so many ways, the culture is not going to come after me. It's not going to come after us.
Mm-hmm.
The culture knows, the world knows. Yeah. The battle is always for the children. It's always for the kids. It's always what do kids believe? What do they think? Who are they connected to? And so I think just that step of trying to include kids in the service, I think is a really good step. Now, Cody, why third grade? Why not? Why don't we just get rid of kids' classes altogether and just have 2-year-olds in there?
I think we could.
Stop it.
I think to expect a 2-year-old, not be a distraction in church and to be engaged is a different expectation than a 9-year-old or whatever, and we do have the opportunity, like we've said in kids' classes, to really present the gospel as like a normal and a good thing, for what it is to kids. And the church servants, while it is good for the family to be together, the dad needs to be not, I don't want to say like the dad needs to be able to focus, the mom needs to be able to focus because they also need to be able to parent their kids and like the training that you talked about, Luke. But a 2-year-old poses a different distraction than a 9-year-old, Well,
and I think if you get rid of children's ministry, you're missing an opportunity.
Totally.
Right. You're missing other people that can have an influence on a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're taking away their ability. And I know the kids can worship in the big service, but like in our preschool class, we do worship as a group of preschoolers. And they are amazing. And at the beginning, they're all stand there. And by the end, they're all very much into it and loving it and learning. And so, yeah, I think you miss an opportunity if you put them in super young. Not to say that it's not important for families to be in church together, but I think there's a missed opportunity to love kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Church to love kids.
And there's just different situations too. A family's coming and new families coming and having a place for, where kids maybe are not used to sitting in that have an environment where they can go and be directly the gospel communicated can be super beneficial. Yeah. And so both work. And like our family, I don't know the last time I've actually put my kids in kids class. I'm not really sure when we stopped, but so my kids have for the longest time from most of them now since they were babies have always been in the service. And doesn't mean you have to do that, but there's a lot of benefits at home when we have dinners on Sunday evenings and talking about the service, talking about the message. I mean, everyone was there, heard it, experienced what was going on. So there's just different angles of questions that kids have and things that they picked up on that you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't really think about that or whatever funny story.
Yeah,
Dan shared.
Yeah,
or whatever obscure random picture.
Yeah, there's some random.
Like that's
Dan.
I mean, that's a net win for getting kids to engage. So,
yes,
but we've loved it. I know for our family, it's been a tremendous blessing just to all be there together
whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I have a friend, I invite their family to church, and they have a fourth grader and a fifth grader.
Yeah,
and they show up. Are you going to send them? Are you going to tell? They're hoping to have their kids in Sunday school. Do we just say, get in the service, kids? Or what happens in that situation? My friend, the new family.
We'll find out.
Time will tell.
I mean, do they want to go to Sunday school?
They want to go to Sunday school.
Get there and there's no other fourth and fifth graders.
I'm just saying they want to go to Sunday school. Yeah. What do we do? What do we do?
I think we share with them, this is what we do. Yeah. And, just like a family that goes to our church every week, and they can choose to put their fourth grade, fifth grade kid in if they want.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Same for a new family. The more common thing, I think, is that a new family chooses not to put their kids in a kids' class than to put them in.
Sometimes those kids are nervous to go to kids' class anyway.
Yeah, you don't know anybody.
They want to get more connected in the life of the church. Maybe meet a few of those families first before they go
to your class. Yeah.
Cool. But I know in the past, I've felt with my kids like I have to keep them in kids class up through fifth grade because there hasn't really been anyone saying this is how you should think about your kids in church.
Yep.
And so I hope that it's helpful just to be able to just to communicate a little bit about why kids class is at the age it is and just that principle again that it's good for families to be together at church.
It really is.
And if we got rid of kids' class, what we're actually going to do is we're going to rob people of the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given them.
Totally.
Some people are not gifted teaching and communicating with adults their own age or more wider, but they are really good with kids. You know, it's like, I am not good with kids. I'm good with my kids.
Is that why you only have two?
That's why I only have two. Here, the first public shaming of kids.
Underachiever. There's still two kids.
Cody has four. Autumn has eight. Between Dan and Luke, there's half the church. But anyway, but there are people who are so good with kids, and we want to open the church is a place for people to use their abilities that God has given them in the different ways that make sense. And one of the most obvious ways that people can exercise gift is in that area, especially if they have it. So we want to provide that opportunity, not only for the kids and for the families, for maybe something to supplement, because there might be a family where the parents just became Christians.
That's right.
I know that's the case, and they don't really know. And so they need some space to learn at church, and then they can help with what their kids are learning in Sunday school. And so
You know, my sister was saved because she actually went with her daughter to the kids' church because it made sense to her.
Huh, really?
And she built a relationship with somebody doing it. And she was like, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, awesome. Came to know the Lord by going to kids' ministry stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's just a testimony, like how powerful the Word of God is.
Amen.
No matter how it's packaged or presented, it's, you know, the Word of God is going to do some pretty incredible things. And so, yeah. So, you know, we're really thankful for the work that both of you do. I think that we've benefited a lot from both of you serving our kids over the last many years. Cody, we've certainly benefited by you coming on full time, and Autumn, the many years of labor that you've put into our kids on Sunday morning. And so we're really thankful for that. We're thankful that you guys could join us here. And so, yeah, from here. If you, again, just a reminder, if you're interested in getting involved or learning more about what it is to be involved in kids ministry, there's that lunch right after church on September 8th. Look for the sign up either online or in the notes here. And then Kids Club and Unite on Wednesday nights, that all launches on September 11th. So you ready for that to start?
Awesome.
Cody, Autumn, I want to give you guys a chance. Is there anything you want to encourage the church with as we head out?
Yeah, I'd just say that, kind of leaning on what you said about serving and some people being gifted, the Spirit gives. There's fruit from the Spirit, there's gifts from the Spirit, and those are given to serve the church, you know, serve the body. And so, whether that's in kids' ministry or somewhere else, but kids' ministry is one place to.
And I would say, don't be intimidated, because I think people think they have to lead, and you can be a valuable member of the kids' team without being the lead teacher.
Front and center.
Yeah. You can still serve. There's lots of opportunities.
Yep. That's right. Great. All right. Well, thank you both for being here.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Pulpit. Walnut Creek Church exists to glorify God by making authentic disciples of Jesus Christ who love and worship Him in all they do. To submit a question to be answered in our next podcast, please visit our website at walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown. If you haven't already, please give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram and sign up for our weekly email updates. And please join us for church on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:15, or 10:45 a.m. at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines.